When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Juice. Thanks so much for downloading the podcast. We've got a big season ahead and some big news today. We are doing our first live show in almost 2 years. We're going to be on the road at Harlow's downtown Sacramento the night before King season. It's going to be taking place Wednesday, October 23rd, 8 p.m. Deuce and Mo live. It's not just us sitting around doing a podcast. You're going to enjoy it the night before King season. Tickets go on sale October 1st at 10 a.m. You can get them at harlows.com. That's H-A-R-L-O-W-S.com. Or you can get them at the Harlow's box office. We can't wait to see you. October 23rd, Harlow's downtown Sacramento. Bring on the season. Hit my music.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Oh, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. We are recording this on September 30th.
Oh.
A Monday night. Media day is in the books. That means training camp gets underway October 1st. And here we are. The NBA is officially back.
Hey.
We survived a long off season, but here we are as the Kings embark on their 40th season in Sacramento. High expectations. They land DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
The vibes
feel
good.
They do great.
Everywhere in the NBA.
Correct.
On media day.
Yeah.
But we are so excited to be back for what is actually going to be our fifth season doing these post-game
night chats. I mean, yeah.
That's insane.
It's insane. These post-game podcasts, I mean, however you guys want to put it, they've been a wild ride of their own. But hanging out with so many of you after games, I never thought I would have just so much fun. And I honestly thrive off of the NBA season being here.
We have a lot to get to about the Sacramento Kings today. We're going to hear from DeMar DeRozan, De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, and more. First things first, and day did start on a sour note. A legend passed away today. Dikembe Mutombo passed away at the age of 58. And beyond sad.
Yeah.
What else can you say? I mean, this guy was a legend on and off the floor. I was talking in our Discord today. You know, some people, there's just different age groups now. You know, in my head, I'm like, you don't know Dikembe Mutombo? And somebody's like, no, I wasn't like alive then.
It's yeah.
Like, oh, damn. So go YouTube Dikembe Mutombo, who made the finger wag a thing. They talked about climbing Mount Mutombo. That's what they called dunking on Dikembe Mutombo. Imagine being so good at blocking shots, multiple efforts, that you would wag a finger right in someone's face after blocking their shot. And if they got you, if someone else got you, like MJ got him once, he was able to climb Mount Mutombo. Off the court, he was awesome. On the court, he was awesome. Rest in peace to the legend.
Absolutely. You know, it's like you said, sour note to start a media day like this, you know, when you're on the high of highs, and especially in this fashion. I mean, just way too young, and you just think about what he means to the NBA world. And like you already said, the things he accomplished off the court forever. I mean, just amazing, amazing basketball player, amazing human. Rest in peace.
Well, let's talk some media day. Basketball is back. And in Sacramento, I feel like all eyes were on, like, DeMar DeRozan's here.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing a Kings jersey now. What was your media day experience like today, Morgan Reagan?
Well, we're going to be playing, obviously, a lot of audio from some of those media scrums.
Yeah.
And I'm glad because I didn't get to hear everything.
Oh, because you're off interviewing players one-on-one.
Yeah, so I'm doing that. So that's why I'm, like, actually really excited to hear some of these cuts. You know, you and I have talked a little bit, so I know a few things that were being said. But besides that, my whole media day is talking to people, doing social, you know, just all the usual media day things, just taking photos.
And I know you're excited every single King season, like, no shit.
Yeah.
It's basketball. We love it. Where is your excitement level at, like, a different level this year?
Literally when we came on and pushed the live button, my cheeks started to hurt because I was so excited. And I think I'm so excited. Oh, finally, we're going to be, you know, doing the post game pod night after night after night again. I mean, it's hard, but it's so much fun. And you think about the Kings in their seasons, sometimes it's hard, but it's still so much fun. You're watching basketball in your hometown, but then on top of that, you're seeing an organization create this, like, continuity, this chemistry the last couple of years. And it's not about running it back to have that chemistry. You're seeing the understanding of taking risks and making those tweaks. And I think when you saw some things today, even just in DeMar DeRozan, you're like, okay, I'm feeling different.
It's still surreal that he signed with the Sacramento Kings. And you start hearing these guys talk about the possibilities with him in the lineup, what that can mean for the Kings offense. It has the potential, in my opinion, to be one of the best offenses of basketball. I mean, we'll hear from some of the people, but no, I'm serious though. I'm just like, okay, what?
We haven't even seen him.
You know what? I'm not going to say all this stuff. I'm going to play some of the video from today. But first things first, the theme of this year. The theme of this year for the coaching staff, Mike Brown had a shirt on that said Climbing Together. And there's a story behind that. Okay. So apparently he wanted to have some guest speaker come in. And so yesterday they landed on having this, like, mountain climbing icon come speak to the team. His name is Ed Visters. Anyway.
Icon.
Yeah, big icon.
Ed Visters? I swear he's an icon. He's as good as that guy in basketball, Michael Jordan.
Anyway, Big Ed, this guy's a lunatic. No, hear me out. Okay. So he talks about the team, and you're going, "Oh, why is he lunatic? He climbed some mountains, dude. That's cool. He's into hiking." No, this son of a bitch.
Oh,
was the first American to climb all 14 8,000ers, and you're going, "Okay, dude, that's cute. What's that mean?" Great question. That means mountains that are 8,000 meters.
Did you learn all of this today? Wait, did Mike Brown teach? This is what I missed in a scrum? Proceed.
I was giving some context. No, this part wasn't it, but I'm giving you some context. this psycho Ed decide he's going to climb 14 8,000ers. And you're going, what is an
8,000er?
Mountains that are 8,000 meters high, or if you did the math real fast, 26,000 plus feet high. 26,000 feet high.
Okay.
And that's not all, Morgan.
Oh, what?
This lunatic was the fifth person ever to do it without oxygen. Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Why is that? Like, what about that is, like, a good idea?
Him doing that?
No, without oxygen. Hey, like, man. How many people climb Everest and there's literally dead bodies frozen up at Mount Everest? Well,
those people are weak.
Okay.
Obviously.
No, we don't know. No, rest in peace to those people.
Yeah, but they knew what they're getting into. They didn't know what they were getting into, just to be clear.
Or they didn't have enough oxygen.
Okay, let's get back to the point. Mike Brown has Ed come in and talk about his experience, because Ed's not just going by himself up the mountains, right? Like, he's going with a team, and there's a team aspect, right? And they have to deal with different climates this season. Sometimes it doesn't go the way they want. They got to go again next year. But it's also, like, survival and sacrifice, because, yes, like you just mentioned about Mount Everest,
yeah,
people die. on these climbs, okay?
Without oxygen. Yep.
Go without on. Oxygen. Yeah. With oxygen. They'll die. And then the other thing is, some of the teammates that go on these trips, they don't go all the way to the summit, Morgan. What? This is not funny. Why are you laughing at me?
You're so passionate about
it. I'm trying to explain to you what happened today.
I love it so much. I'm crying. Go. Okay, so what happens with these 8,000ers?
Dude, they have a team full of people. It takes sacrifice. Not all the people who go on these climbs reach the summit. They're not supposed. Everyone plays a different role. But the fact is, they all have to face adversity together. Doesn't that sound kind of like what an NBA team may have to deal with throughout the course of an 82-game season, right?
Yeah.
Injuries, losses, oxygen. Steps back, playing games with no oxygen.
Okay.
Here's what Mike Brown had to say about the guest speaker and their new motto, climbing together.
You know, our thing in my ears, it's climbing together. You know, as you climb higher from your summer work to the preseason, to the regular season, to the playoffs, as you climb higher, the struggle gets harder. And you got to be passionate about with what you do or with what's in front of you. And if you are, it's going to get you through the dog days because there are going to be some dog days. So, you know, our theme this year is climbing together. And if we hit any adversity at all, again, as part of our life, we get to go home and see our wives and kids and loved ones. But for him, especially climbing this mountain right here, Annapurna, that could be death. That's real adversity. So if we hit adversity this year, I'm going to remind our guys, Annapurna. We're not on Annapurna. We're not climbing Annapurna. Let's enjoy what we do and figure it out.
I don't know why it's so funny to you.
Explain to me Annapurna then.
It's a mountain. It's a huge mountain. It's and the season's not Annapurna. The perspective is like, hey guys, we're not climbing a mountain. We're playing the game of basketball, so let's climb this shit together. Let's be a team. Let's sacrifice. You may not get all the shots you want. You may not get all the playing time you want, but hey, could be on Annapurna without oxygen.
I get it. I wish I was there for it, honestly, because now I'm like you explaining it.
You're just laughing at the way I explain it?
No, I think it's great. It's just, you know, it's so funny. Like I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, I was away from this. So you and I did not discuss this at all. And I just, how random that like, oh, we had a mountaineer come, whatever he is. What
a
is
I call him a mountain climber, a psycho. Psycho Ed.
Psycho Ed climbing the mountain. And that is what was like Mike Brown's take on what he wants the identity of the season to be. And I love it in so many different ways, but just how it's explained to me.
How I explained it? Okay. I didn't think it was that funny, but you made me laugh about it.
Okay, sorry. Okay, so anyway, I love that. So it's climb the mountain. What's the saying?
No, it's climbing together. And you know what? You're not the only person to say that. Like, I think Jake Gaynor from CBS 13 was asking one of the guys, yeah, the new model this year is climbing the mountain. I'm like, no, it's not. It's set on the shirt.
Okay. And I do like it. I'll get there. Let me just get there. But all right, climbing together. I love it. And you do have to do it together.
But I do think it's interesting. And I know you're laughing about this. But when you have someone, it's one thing for Mike Brown to go up and they're like, hey, there's this one guy. Psycho Ed, who would climb these mountains, 26,000 feet, I'm a boss. But when you have the guy like come and talk to the team, it's just like, it's a good way. It's not as if like Sabonis was like, dude, I wasn't ready for the season yet.
And now I am.
And honestly, I was kind of like going to do my own thing this year. But until Ed said something, but it's just a cool way to like, wow, holy shit, there is levels to this. I mean, we're at premier athletes. This guy is an athlete, dude, at a different level. Like, it's cool.
Can we should get him on the pod.
Yeah, I thought about that, but really? But after you made a mockery of what
I
he
did
does.
Not, it was how
it's
it was.
Annapurna.
It was, and I need, and then he can teach me what Annapurna, or I could do my research in Wikipedia, Annapurna, because I haven't heard of it. So anyway, I am excited for that, but I just need to like get there.
Some other things Mike Brown talked about today, some of the changes to his coaching staff, right? Because Jordy Fernandez went to Brooklyn, so did Davidas Dulcis and Dutch Gately. They are now with the Brooklyn Nets. So Jay Triano got promoted to associate head coach. Excuse me. And the amount of people in the chat are saying, I'm with Morgan right now.
Thank you. Oh, it's not even, there's nothing, we're not dissing anything. We're just more like, oh, okay, we need more from Psycho Ed. Like, I'm just curious. And then I want to get pumped by Psycho Ed.
I know. We'll get him
on. I want to get motivated by Psycho Ed.
The guy does like TED Talks around the world. He's not coming on our podcast. You're going to pay me 10 grand?
No.
Anyway. So the coaching staff, Triano will continue to run the offense like he has in previous years. Luke Laux and Doug Christie are the co-second assistants, according to Mike Brown. And Luke Laux will be taking on the assignment of the defense. That's what Jordy Fernandez did
the last
couple of years.
Okay.
Jawad Williams also got a promotion, too. So those were some minor changes that took place with the coaching staff. As far as other things Mike Brown talked about... I'm going to laugh here because he did spend a huge portion talking about the
Ed. Psycho Ed.
Yeah. And climbing together in a really cool story. There's been so much talk about what's going to happen at the shooting
top
guard
of the
spot.
Mountain?
The top of the, when they get to the top of the mountain. The shooting guard spot. So we know like the four of the five starters at this point, right? It's DeRozan, it's Sabonis, Fox, and Keegan Murray. I think the fifth one has been kind of a question mark. I've heard this offseason fans and others bring up, oh, I think Malik, he's back. He should be in the starting lineup. It's got to be Keon. You know, some people have mentioned Kevin Huerter, but Huerter's not going to be an option, at least at the moment, because he is still rehabbing his shoulder. He talked about today he's gone 1-0. He's not been cleared for full contact yet, but he is shooting. He says he feels good, but he's also trying to be patient with this progress. He actually seemed like he was in a good like mental space, considering like what he's had to go through with what happened last year and the injury. He also looks like he added a lot of muscle. I think partly that's because he's been doing a ton of rehab on the upper body.
I said that to him too. I was like, not to like point this out because he was just talking about getting stronger, and I was like, You look stronger in all your photos that you put, and not to say you're posting like, hey, look at me, I'm stronger, but it was very noticeable. And then I asked him if it like,
do you seem kind of flex when you said that? Like, was it?
And he like popped his pecs. And he was oh.
What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about.
He did not do that.
So he will not be ready to go for the start of the season. But it sounds like Keon Ellis is going to get at least the start of training camp, be the guy at that shooting guard spot. I do think Mike's going to be open-minded to potential options. You're going, what other options could there be?
Yeah.
Well, he could elect to go bigger. I think that took a hit, though, once Trey Lyles went down. So I think that could have been an option. I'd be surprised if it wasn't Keon Ellis on opening night in that starting lineup with that group.
Okay.
The Malik Monk angle. Look, Malik wants to start. Every NBA player wants to start.
Correct.
There's not one in the league. I remember years ago, we interviewed Bobby Jackson, and we were talking about the dynamic with Mike Bibby.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Jackson thought he should have started in front of Mike Bibby. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the mentality that I think you have to have, and you want to. You want to be that guy in the starting lineup. But Mike Brown made a point today is like, look, there's certain guys on like championship level teams that you can make a case to be a starter, but we need off the bench.
Yep.
The two cases he brought up, Manu Ginobili in San Antonio and Andre Iguodala with the Golden State Warriors. He's like,
great
look,
examples.
When you look at San Antonio, Bruce Bowen, guy averaged like 6 points a game. He wasn't better than Manu Ginobili. But what Manu gave us off the bench, we need. It was essential to our identity, what we need.
Yeah.
And his point is like, those guys could sacrifice and be a massive part and go to championships. And that's the buy-in that he'll need from Malik Monk. And I think Malik has zero problem buying into that.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because today one of the big group photos was De'Aaron, DeMar, Keegan, Sabonis, and Malik all together. And every single comment I've seen on the one I posted and other people posted, blah, 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 it's, oh, my God, does this mean Malik starting? Oh, my God, I'm so excited. this better be the starting five. And I'm like, no, but it guess what? It's going to be a lineup that is playing a lot of minutes together.
Yeah.
You know, like depending on what else is staggered throughout the game. But at the same time, I am so okay with that strategy. And for someone like Malik Monk, I can't imagine how you have to shift your mindset from even like you think about these guys warming up and then going to the bench and then coming in, you know, 6 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever it is. And it's like, you just have to be ready. And there's just a different type of personality and mental shift that has to go into that he's capable of
and
doing.
He has shown he can thrive in that role.
Yeah.
I think the other thing too, just with like the starting lineup as it is, like, I mean, with like DeMar in the fold, I don't know if I would want Malik in that spot.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather his offense come off the bench and be staggered with some different guys as opposed to, you know, that's a lot of offense in one starting lineup.
Was anything brought up about, hey, well, when Kevin Huerter is healthy, what do you see? Where do you see his role?
Yeah, that was not brought up today. That was not brought up today. So, I mean, I imagine it'll be Keon to start. And Keon was awesome in that role late in the season.
Agreed.
I mean, and that's why I like him with that starting group too, because of the fact that he showed the defensive ability, takes some pressure off of Fox too, right? And you think about the defensive versatility out there when you've got Keegan, De'Aaron, and Keon. I like that. And just from like the three-point perspective, Keon got great looks last year. We talked to him about a month ago on our podcast, and I brought that up. I'm like, hey, you may not be getting the same looks. And he's like, well, actually, nerd, you stupid. You think you know basketball. I'm an NBA player. Let me tell you something. With DeMar, and with De'Aaron out there and Keegan, like those guys are going to get some good looks still.
I got to talk to Mike Brown 101 a little bit about the spacing. Cause I was like, okay, how many people are asking about spacing today, you know? And he's just like, look, with DeMar and his skill set on the offensive end, the way that guys are going to have to close out on him, collapse on him, do whatever they need to do to stop this man from getting a clutch bucket, from getting any type of mid-range shot, whatever it may be, like that alone is going to create the same type of activity that we would want, that we would have wanted to see. You know, I think sometimes like people try to overthink some of these things. Like even with Minnesota, I've been thinking a lot about Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert and how that's going to work.
Yeah.
And in my head, I step back to this media day and I kind of go, they're going to figure it out.
Well, yeah. And I also think some people are forgetting how good Julius Randle has been in previous years.
Not from three.
No, not from three. Yeah. But he's been an all-star, all-NBA player.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, he brings different things, obviously, to the table than Kat. But, yeah. Malik had something today at media day. He was asked about being back in Sacramento, and Morgan, I think you'll like his answer.
I'm home now. That's what it felt like, man. I'm gonna continue to feel like that. So happy.
You feel that in the community too, and within the organization?
Yeah, I felt that before. I felt that before the contract, and I definitely feel it now. So yeah.
He feels at home.
Cute. That's cute. It's super sweet, and it's. I mean, look, it's these guys. They're on the road so much during the NBA season. And if they can like just feel it, like they can call the place that they work in, that they play in, all the different things home. It's just a positive thing to have.
Especially with like everything he's gone through in his career, right? In Charlotte,
right.
As a lottery pick, off the court things going on, almost out of the league. Then got that 1 year deal with the Lakers, then the Sacramento. To actually be in a spot for multiple years is to be like, huh, wow, I am making good money.
Yeah.
I got a long term deal. I like the place I'm playing. I like the city. The fans vibe with me. I also think that for me, with these NBA players and athletes now are like such massive stars. And obviously, Malik's not like, we're not talking about like LeBron James status, right? It's a different level. But there's still big, and I just, there's something about it that I think is cool when an NBA player like really connects with the fans.
Agreed.
I become so jaded sometimes being in the business where I'm like, do these guys even care that much about the fans? They just say they like the fans. But I'm like, no, I think Malik genuinely loves the love.
Another little nugget that I have.
Yeah.
I had a one-on-one with Devin Carter, and he was talking about Sacramento, and he's like, just one of the coolest thing is are the fans. Like, I'm not even playing, you know, and they were so respectful of like me getting injured and, you know, still being here and working on that. And he said in college, he felt like those were the best fans in the world. And he's so glad that he's just going, you know, in a direction, in a positive direction when it comes to fandom and really just appreciating that. And I think when, as a player, when you can connect with that, like you're saying, it just makes everything a little easier.
Let's get to some other clips. Keegan Murray, Morgan, looked noticeably stronger today. Did you notice that too?
I just thought, I was like, oh, year three. Bigger kid. Yeah.
And I'm not saying like the guy looked like he was juicing.
That's good.
He was in the 90s in WWF.
There you go.
Juiced out of his mind. No, yeah. He just looks like, that's what I was thinking too. It's like, oh no, he's a growing man. He's turning into a...
I felt the same way about Keon too.
Yeah.
You know?
Keegan was asked about his off-season work.
I mean, just continue to take care of my body, be in a great position going into training camp. Has always been kind of my off-season goal. So, obviously, I have new obligations this year with trying to guard bigger guys and things like that. So, I'm just trying to get as strong as I can. But while also keeping that same, staying in shape, being able to play 35 minutes a game. So,
you talk about having to defend bigger guys now, probably have to rebound more too. Is it a shift mentally that you have to make a little bit too? Like, what's the challenge of defending bigger guys out there?
I think the biggest thing is just continue to be aggressive. Don't let the offense dictate your movement. And obviously, there's going to be more times where I'm in the post and things like that. So it's just continue to learn each game. I'm not going to be perfect every game, but if I can continue to be aggressive like I am against guard, I feel like I'll find success.
Yeah, he was talking a little bit more about the offense on that end part. But what I was trying to get at is, like, I think for Keegan, I like based on how this roster's been constructed.
Yeah.
He's going to have to guard some bigger dudes.
Oh, yeah.
And from a size perspective, I don't think that's the problem. And even looking at him today, I think from a strength perspective, that's not the problem. It's just a mentality of he's got to hit first and he's got to play with a physicality. It's different when you can kind of be big against these guards in the league and use your size and body to defend. But when these other guys are going to be going at you and playing physical, and we're talking about some premier players in this league, you've got to be able to impose your will a little bit too.
But we haven't seen anyone just completely back him down and take him to the right. I mean, you know, consistently at least. Right. I can't even think of a possession right now. But I guess my point to that being is that, like, I do believe that he is strong enough. And I do believe that in year three, just your body maturing alone and then putting in the work, it's going to be there.
He took such a great step defensively last year.
Yeah.
Monty McNair was talking to the media today too, and he said he's one of the best wing defenders in the West. And at first, and you're like, no, I mean, he's up there with what he was able, that type of jump he made from year one to year two. And Keegan also talked about his offseason work with Team USA was super beneficial, guarding some of the bigger guys on the U.S. national team. Like, okay, that's great experience just being there. He did work out with De'Aaron Fox again this offseason. De'Aaron has a place in Houston, and Keegan went out there with Luke Laux, and they all got workouts in too. And then Keegan also talked about something we'd mentioned a couple months back. He worked out with Herb Jones over the offseason too, and that was a really good experience for him. Like, just to go up against, like, some length and size and show what you can do from an offensive standpoint. And from what I understand, like, Herb Jones was really impressed with what he saw from Keegan.
Well, the other thing, too, that Mike Brown was talking about on the offensive end of what he expects, maybe even a little bit more of Keegan expects or wants to see, they're going to post him up a little bit. And
that's something that, remember, last year was talked about, and he definitely did in college.
Yes. And
he's confident.
That's it. He's confident. He's, you know, year three, stronger, a little bigger, a little bit more mature, knows the feel of the game, but wants to add that to his game. And I think there could be times when we might see that it's frustrating, just because it is a different league, but at the same time, he hasn't been doing it. And so you got to let him work out the tweaks. It's, you know, it's the same, it's kind of the same concept when De'Aaron Fox is shooting a lot of threes and everyone's just like, no, just take it to the rack every single time and be explosive and use all your energy. It's like, yeah, no, we totally wish that can happen every time, but he also does need to make sure that he is working on the three, but finding that balance between the two is just what both these guys are going to have to work at.
Shout out to everyone watching us live right now. This is great. It's so fun to be back. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Liv brings up a good point, saying more Keegan dunks and free throws. Keegan actually brought that up himself today, talking about he wants to get to the free throw line more. He's like, I got there like maybe two times a game, and I'm a good free throw shooter, so I need to get to the rack more. Now, with that said, this is something we've talked about and so many others have mentioned, is like, hey, but like, there's a lot of mouths to feed, right? Like,
yeah,
DeMar DeRozan takes shots. De'Aaron Fox takes a lot of shots, mm-hmm. right? You still want to get Keegan involved. So bonus, how do you keep all these guys happy and engaged? Well, DeMar DeRozan was asked about the whole so many mouths to feed topic.
I mean, that's everything. You know, when I hear people say things like that, it just shows me how much they don't know basketball. You've seen Boston just win it. All the talent that they have on their team, they made it work. You know, you gotta have talent in this league. You know, it's no more just one guy could go out there and do it, two guys could go out there and do it. You need a collective effort of guys that's able to go out there and compete on a nightly basis. And you just can't always just rely on two guys to, you know, to be the savior of that. You know, it's a team effort. And you look at this team and you have that talent from top to bottom, on the bench, starting, whatever it may be. So, you know, you need that. You need that now if you really want to win at a high level.
Your durability has always been, you know, praised. I'm just curious how you look at, you know, playing alongside someone like Fox, who's this, you know, race car, and they want to play fast. And at your age, how much do you embrace that challenge?
Man, I love it. Yeah, listen, one thing about me, I pride myself on playing every single night. You know, you can't play every night if you feel like you're old. So.
There's DeMar DeRozan. You can't play every night if you feel old. What do you think of what he had to say, though, about the whole, like, mouse feet? No, it's this. You need talent in this league.
Facts. Yeah. I mean, it's the same.
It's not. It's obviously talent, but it's also you have to have buy-in because, you know, there are teams in the league that you could have people upset. Sure. Like, I'm not getting
you got to make sure you have the right personalities, too. Yeah. You have to make sure that people are willing and can put their egos aside. And not to say that egos can come back and forth if, that it's sometimes people think that that's just their competitive nature, or they think they can put the world on their shoulders and carry everyone. And that's sometimes what the ego is that I'm talking about. But I think with this team specifically, not only when you have such a great human being leader like DeMar DeRozan kind of leading the way with all this, I feel like the buy-in will be there. And the buy-in, I feel like, will also be there because we've seen a roster that is willing to buy in to Mike Brown's system, his strategy. And if you're not doing shit the right way, you're not going to be playing. You know, like, he's shown that he's willing to bench you if you're not shooting enough shots. Keegan Murray, Malik Monk, when you are being chaotic and not being disciplined with what he wants to see on the offensive end. All it has done is made these individuals better. So why couldn't more talent just make this team better, even if there's more mouths to feed?
Yeah, and if you're winning, who cares, man? Like, I think the Boston example that DeMar brought up was great, too, because you think of someone like Jrue Holiday. Think about his offensive role he had in Milwaukee. Like,
yeah.
It was like, hey, we need you to score a lot. And in Boston, it was like, sometimes we actually need you to defend a lot. And mm-hmm. Tatum and Brown got this. And, you know, Derek White can score. Like, we're good.
Yeah. I think if anything, you just want to make sure that someone like Keegan Murray will have that mentality. Like, I mean, you can put it like, I need to get mine. Yeah, or like, I still need to be aggressive. However you want to look. He wants to get to the free throw line more. Okay, that means that he's going to be more aggressive. And that has to be the mentality as well, because you can't just be like, okay, De'Aaron's going to drive it to the basket every time. That's it, this, you know, this isn't a team with a LeBron James or a Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, whatever, whoever,
yeah,
where you really just have to depend on them.
Speaking of Keegan Murray, DeMar DeRozan is very, very excited about Keegan Murray.
I'm looking forward to that. I ain't gonna lie, I'm looking forward to that, because even looking at him, I was the same way when I was young, quiet, didn't say much, just kind of went along with the flow. But you know, that kid got a lot of talent, So it's gonna be fun just to be able to be a vet to him and kind of get him out of his comfort zone and, you know, take him to the next level.
I love that. He's excited. Ew. He sees that. Because, you know, DeMar was a quiet guy, like he said.
I think it's great. In Keegan, you know, he's quiet, but I feel like each year he opens up a little more and more.
He was he definitely seemed much more comfortable today talking
to
me.
He did. He was so cute. He was so...
Just such a nerd.
Oh, my God. Oh, I asked him, too, about... because... I said, oh, well, you're obsessed with basketball or whatever. I was like, oh, wait, well, you like golf. And he's like, yeah, it's a hobby. And I'm like, and he's like, Malik really likes golf. And I'm like, yeah, do you guys go out? Like, who is better? And he's like, me. I'm like, what? That was quick. And he's like, and I was like, would Malik say that? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, there's no way Malik would say that. And he's like, no, I am.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think he competed in like the John Deere Classic. Like, Keegan's really good at golf.
Whatever that is.
Whatever that is. You're so stupid.
We're psycho Ed.
Oh, my God. We got more of the podcast coming up, but a couple of things I want to mention real fast. Shout out to some new sponsors and some old ones who are back.
Oh, yes.
First off, welcome to Deuce and Mo Podcast, Golden One Credit Union.
Yes!
Hell yeah.
Super happy about them. Also, welcome Mother.
Woo!
Give me a hell yeah.
Mother is an awesome restaurant, 23rd and K in Sacramento. And welcome back.
Simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Northwest Exteriors is back.
Give me a hell yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And maybe more to come. We'll find out. I don't know, but we appreciate it. Of course, all these companies for coming on board. We love these local companies. We only connect with things that we actually believe in and companies that are awesome. So we appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast.
Yeah, excited to tell you more about them and elaborate more as we get into the season.
Yes. Also, we have to mention this for people who are listening to the audio of this. We are super excited about our live show.
You're doing a live show right now.
No. Live in person. Deuce and Mo on a little stage. Deuce and Mo, for the first time since April 2023, doing a live show. It's taking place at Harlow's in downtown Sacramento the night before King season, October 23rd, 8 p.m. Pacific time. We'll be putting on a live performance.
So, a live performance. I love it.
Tickets on sale October 1st, 10 a.m. Pacific time. Get them fast because they could go really, really quick. How do you get them? How do I get them, Deuce? Go to harlows.com. That's harlows.com. Click on events. Scroll down to that date, October 23rd. Boom, boom. Or go on our social media. We got links to it as well. Or another cheat code, you can get them at the Harlow's box office. No ticket fees, man.
Why are you talking like
that? I don't know.
Oh.
Harlows.com. Go ahead, Morgan.
All ages are invited. And
we're capping it this year. I'll be honest, we're capping it at 94 this year.
What? Ages? Oh, the oldest.
I'm capping it. Yeah.
You're an ageist. That's screwed up.
Can you imagine some 95-year-olds like, dude, I'm just a big Kings fan. Sorry.
Get out of here.
We capped it at 94.
Yeah. So all ages. And, you know, there is, but I'm just letting everyone know too, there's, you know, obviously a stage area. And then there also is a bar. And afterward as well, it will be open to the public for more people to come. Yeah. But
and we'll hang out after the show too.
Just remember though, 2 years ago when we did our first live show, tickets sold out in less than 10 minutes. So they go on sale tomorrow, Tuesday at 10 a.m.
Yes. So get them, harlows.com. Liv says, can we get these posters at the event? Actually, we're going to have some of the event posters on sale. We're signing and selling them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Excited. Exciting. Super excited.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get back to the show.
Please.
More DeMar DeRozan. Do you want more DeMar? Can you handle more DeMar?
Like audio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can handle more. I love DeMar.
All right. I asked DeMar about working out with Sabonis in SoCal.
We saw you and Sabonis work out at SC. What was valuable about that experience, just to spend some time with him on the court and off the court?
I think it was special off the court, you know, the communication we had, you know, being on the same page right away, talking about having the same feeling, understanding how we could help one another, but also helping other guys, you know, what was missing from the previous year, what was needed, how we could fill this void. You know, it was just crazy how quick we was problem solving things on the go. Obviously, working out on the court, that was the easy part. You know, that was fun. But the communication, what, you know, that came from it, you know, was made me even more excited, you know, looking forward to tomorrow.
How can you not love this guy? I haven't seen DeMar DeRozan play a game in a Kings uniform. I'm already like, hey, so where do we put the statue? Like, do we put it next to the piglet or what? No, I just honestly, I think he is going to be so impactful for this team. And I'm not just talking about like what he does like on a nightly basis. Yeah, of course. The guy's averaged 20 plus points a game for how many years in a row?
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't miss games, but you just hear how he talks.
Well, the way that everyone talks about him is just like, okay, they never have anything bad to say about him. And then not only do you talk to him and then you do even these scrums and you just see him in this element at a media day. How can you not be excited for that type of person? And I've talked to other people around the league too that have a type of player that's just a cancer to their team. And they talk about how every year they don't look forward to a media day or they don't look forward to the season because of that person. And although everything isn't just put out there to the public, it just sucks. It's so great being with an organization that doesn't have that. Or at least, hey, we don't see it. I always say, is DeMar DeRozan like a serial killer? Because the way that everyone talks about him, it's too good. It's really, really sweet. And I'm excited for more and more people to just keep seeing him in Sacramento.
I mean, just hearing the joy in his voice when he was talking about, oh, I can't wait to connect with Keegan. I can't wait.
I know.
Just talking about, I asked him about on and off the court with the SC thing, but his first answer is, well, off the court is what was a big thing. And then there was, I think Brendan Nunes put out a video he saw on a podcast because DeMar went on like 8,000 podcasts on his book tour.
Yep.
And one of the things he talked about was like on road trips, he likes to get to the team hotel, have everyone put their bags away and then go out to dinner as a team. I'm like, dude, those little things, like,
they matter.
And it's impactful because the guy has a resume to back it up. You know, like sometimes you get rah-rah guys in a locker room and some guys will roll their eyes. Let's be honest about it. You know, you've been around the league a long time. You've seen some of these players are like, oh, okay. You know the camera's on. Or like, it's also like, dude, what are you saying? Like, how are you going to say that? But when DeMar DeRozan has the resume and the reputation, the respect from his peers, coaches, executives, fans, people outside the game, that goes such a long way. And then you couple that with the fact that the guy can still ball at his age, 35 years old, and he could still be one of the premier scorers in the NBA. I think it was Trey Lyles today talking about him. He spent some time with DeMar when they played in San Antonio together. He's just like, it's just weird how easily he can score. Like, you'd be like, oh, he has 5 points, and then you look up, and he's got 27. And he plays the game at his own pace. So I just think he's going to be so valuable for this team on the court. But I think just from a leadership perspective off the court too.
It's interesting when you do talk about the leadership, because when I asked Mike Brown, I was like, what's one of the things that you look forward to in De'Aaron's game this year? Like, you want to see? And he's like, him becoming a better leader. And he's like, that's not just like off the court, you know, in the locker room. He's like, on the court when adversity hits, when it's the hardest times to check someone and tell them what's up. And I'm just like,
and you think, psycho Ed, we'll climb that mountain.
Mount of a Peruna?
What was it?
I don't know.
I forget. I never.
Come on. Remember, never forget this mountain.
Aperna?
Aperna.
Aperna.
Okay.
Someone listening is like, dude, how do you forget
that? I know. It's probably some iconic mountain. So sorry. But really quick to that point, though, I think DeMar DeRozan is one of the best people to have around for De'Aaron to even grow as a leader and really understand what he does need to do with his voice, with his body language every single night.
Well, let's hear from De'Aaron Fox. Ugh. De'Aaron Fox was talking about DeMar DeRozan on the squad.
Just being able to see the career that he's had and all the big games that he's played in, and then being able to play with him while he's still playing at a high level, I think is definitely a blessing. I think he adds a whole other dynamic to our team.
How would you describe that, his presence, what he brings, like the attributes and just how you think he's going to fit in and what he can do?
Well, I think for starters is we draw the same type of defenders. So, like, 9 times out of 10, I'm being guarded with some type of wing. So I think we take the pressure off of each other in that aspect. But I think with him being on the court, you know, whenever he has the ball in his hands especially, I mean, he's one of the best ISO scorers in the league. He's been that for a long period of time. People talk about his age, him being 35 already. But, I mean, he played the most minutes in the league last year. So your age doesn't matter. You're playing at a high level and you're playing a lot of minutes. So however old you are, it doesn't really matter. And then just his playmaking, being able to be on the court with him, him talking about if a double team's coming from this way or from this way, what he wants to happen. I definitely think his playmaking is a very underrated part of his game. And I think whenever you're actually in a gym with him and you kind of understand his thought process, you kind of see it.
That's cool.
Yeah, De'Aaron also talked like he's excited that it could lead to him getting more catch and shoot opportunities from downtown, because he doesn't get a lot of catch and shoot.
No, absolutely it should. Again, having someone that has that vision, that has the ability to manage the floor and see the floor and create something where it's going to create a more open look for a teammate. Yes, that's what I'm definitely, that's what I'm hoping to see a lot more of. When it comes to DeMar with the ball in his hands, like even if he's not the one that's scoring, it's also the playmaking ability.
If you're in the chat, make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. I do have a poll question up that I wanted to get to too, Morgan. The poll question, I want to see what the vibes are tonight. Oh yeah, this is great. This is good shit right here. This is my type of hopium. Where will the Kings finish is the poll question.
Okay.
Top four, five to six, play-in or lottery? 56% of the people tonight are on the hopium with me. That purple hopium.
Hopium.
Top four. 56% say the Kings will finish in the top four. 37% feeling good. 5 to 6. Well, then you got 5% saying plain and 2% good. Lottery. DeMar sucks.
I mean, what if the people that voted lottery just aren't Kings fans?
Yeah, but you still think there would be a lottery team?
No, they're being petty. I like it.
All right, let's play a game real fast. Let's play a game. Best case, worst case. Let's just say they're healthy.
I hate these games.
we recorded a podcast the other day with these awesome kids who are, what, freshmen in high school?
No, sophomores.
Sophomores in high school. They have a podcast.
Just started their sophomore year.
Nothing But Net. And we went through, we went over there and we went in order of what we thought every team in the East would finish and every team in the West. We might have been there 7 years. No, I don't know.
We were there for 2.5 hours.
Okay. And I said, I think the Kings ceiling is 2.
Uh-huh.
My prediction is 4th. But like, they could be a play-in team. But that's the Western Conference for you. And people go, that's good. No, my prediction, if I were to predict, you're like, dude, she's going to make a prediction right now. I'm going, Kings are getting the 4th spot.
You definitely have I don't want to say convinced me to go in that direction. You have inspired me.
Come along.
Stop.
Come along.
You've inspired me to go in that direction. And I laugh because I definitely wasn't there. And I think the reason why I'm there is now is because I look at all these teams in the West and it's stacked. Absolutely. But I'm also like, wait, but why can't this roster be right. better than this roster that doesn't have any depth? Denver Nuggets. Or why this roster can't be better than the old team just because they have like one of the best players of all time, Steph Curry. You know, like those yeah. my mind has kind of shifted to where I think the Kings will be in the West, but it's not going to be easy. Like when you say four, it's like not going to be easy.
When I could say that their range for me is like, hey, I could see them 2 to 10. That's insane.
Peter, what a dick. He goes, Mo says top 10. It's so true.
I can't take a plane. Just get me in the top six. I mean, that should be the goal. No one wants to play in a plane. I mean, the plane last year, the first one was so fun. We were so high. It would be step 99. And then your ass clapped in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That hurt. That stung. And then Lee goes, hey, you know what? You know how many times you're going to play New Orleans in a week? 3 times. We're going to do it right before the All-Star break or something. It's just insane.
Punishment. Insane.
It's not even to, obviously. Deuce, you're being a Kings homer. Yeah, guess what? I want the Kings to do well. Shame on me. But I think they've got the talent to finish, you know, fourth in the West. There's a lot of awesome teams out there. You know, I go, OKC's one. OKC is one.
That's fair.
After that, there's question marks for me. I still think I lean Minnesota. There's going to be
question marks until we start seeing these teams like play on the floor, like first 15 games. And I obviously injuries and health, so many different things can happen throughout the season. But I think it will give us so much better of a, I don't know. Like a way to predict what these teams really are. Like even Minnesota, like we have them as the second best team, but do we now?
Yeah, you know, that's like, the thing. I don't know. And the Kings get to see him opening night, but Randall won't be able to play that night. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how that all unfolds. But you know, I don't look at right at the moment. I'm not like, hey, Minnesota got better. I think they got slightly worse, and until proven otherwise, you know, Randall could come in and start knocking down threes again and be healthy and bring this edge to Minnesota. They've got Naz Reid. DiVincenzo, you know, was elite with his 3-point making last year.
I mean, they still have a lot of different things of why there's that optimism there. I think
for sure an ant. I think the prime one.
But I think the main tweak being such a dominant big, especially a modern day big like Kat, it's like, okay, that's a big difference, you know, of what even their style is going to be on the floor. But hey, with a whole bunch of good players, guess you just figure it out.
Obviously, as training camp goes on, as we get closer to season, we'll do like a full-on Kings season preview. But I think the big concern for this group is still size. I mean, you still look at the Kings, you're like, okay, there's concerns with some of these bigger teams in the West. Like, that's going to be the one, and that's something they didn't address. Like, I think there's so many people who go, well, they didn't address any of their weaknesses over the offseason. I'm like, well, no, they did. I mean, the one big weakness they had last year was the fact that they needed someone that could create other than De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. And when Monk went down, you're looking around going, who else is going to be able to create? It's all falling on him. And adding someone with the explosiveness of DeMar DeRozan changes things, obviously.
Yeah. And I think we all know staying healthy is huge for a team like the Sacramento Kings. But adding another weapon, if someone was going to go down, you do, knock on wood, you at least have that other leader, have that other weapon, have whatever you need, where it just felt like the entire identity was going to be lost last year. Again, that was only year two for Keegan. Malik, you're still figuring out what his game was going to be. And a lot of guys got hurt and it really just changed things.
I think, I obviously have some concern with Keegan playing the four, defending the four, because of some of the size of those guys. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he can handle it. You know, I think he showed last year his rebounding got better, his defense got better. Let's see what that looks like in year three for him. I want to get to one more De'Aaron Fox clip.
Okay.
And you're talking about the leadership that Mike Brown wants from him. This kind of sounds like a leader.
Like, you come in here every day and you feel it. Like, even going through a practice where you're probably not even doing much, you still see what the coaches are doing, how much work they're putting in, the attention to detail that they're going into with every single game. That was just a shift in its own. And you go into every single game feeling like you have a chance to win. So that's for anybody. I mean, Malik been through it when, like, he was in Charlotte early in his career. But I tell Keegan all the time, brother, you're lucky that you didn't have to go through that. So we want to continue to build. We want to continue to build towards being a championship team. And you do that by acting like champions before you become champions. Like, no one who's won a championship is like, oh, I'm surprised that we won a championship. You have to be able to build those habits before you're able to win a championship.
Build those championship habits.
I mean, that's how that shit works.
Build me a just first round victory. That'd be nice.
That would be nice. Talking to Devin Carter.
Yeah.
I also asked, and tell me if he, I'm sure he answered this then with you guys. I said, are you playing this year? And he's like, yeah.
That's interesting. No one asked. I almost asked him that. And I was like, am I going to, like, I don't know. Like, he's, of course, he's going to say yes.
I said, I'm in a one-on-one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just so unprofessional. I'm like, are you going to play this year? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, really? Like, yeah, that's my response.
His media stuff was interesting because he was just like, yeah, I'm going to soak it all up. There's so much I can learn. But he's like, I'm going to be ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not concerned at all. I will be ready to play this year.
And it made it easier too than to ask questions like, okay, well then what should we expect from you when you are out there? And something I always forget about him too is that he is this rebounding guard. Now, how that translates into the NBA will be a little different with some of these bodies. But at the same time, when you have a nose for the ball and that effort and that mentality, there's something different about you as a rebounder. And when you have a guard like him that can utilize his length and his wingspan, whatever, it just made me excited.
And defend multiple positions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's fun about an NBA season sometimes is, you know, we all have, like, these ideas. Hey, this is what the rotation's going to be like. This is what's all going to be. This guy's going to play here and blah, 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 blah. Like, Keon Ellis, late in the year, changed the Kings' defense in a lot of ways, right?
Like the identity of the defense.
Yeah, I mean, I do say that, but I do want to acknowledge, I thought De'Aaron played some really good defense last year, and so did Keegan. I think the other thing that helped the team, and it's actually something I asked Sabonis about today, was when the league decided, hey, like, you know what? We're not going to blow the whistle as much. Mm. Late January, the league makes a shift. Mm. And
loved it.
Hindsight's 20/20. But the league, I think, would probably admit they could have done a better job of educating fans, players, yep, coaches, and executives of the fact that they're not changing the rules. They're just going to be mindful of how they're calling a game, which was, it seemed like the offensive player always had a crazy advantage. How many times were we all watching games going, you could, like, brush James Harden or, you know, barely nick a player and they're going to the line to shoot two free throws.
It's deemed a foul.
Late January, yeah. And it was even more apparent after the All-Star break, it was like, oh my God, this is basketball again. The players loved it. The coaches dug it.
Yeah.
Execs dug it. The communication wasn't great. So we were all left going, what's happening here? My point being is the Kings, I think, benefited from those changes.
Being able to be more aggressive. Yeah.
And Sabonis was saying today, he's like, look, I don't think, like, we, like, changed that much defensively. They stopped blowing the whistle as much. And it's like, well, okay. And based on what we've heard, the league plans on calling the games the same way they did last year. Like,
it's better for the game.
It is better for the game. I think the refs enjoy it more. I think everybody enjoys
and
it more.
That's the thing. It's not dangerous either. It's not like there are these ridiculous things that are happening out there because of the physicality. If anything, it just allows a better product to be out there on flow. Both ends. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Everything. So I think the Kings did benefit from that. But yeah, I went on that big tangent to say, like, you don't know what can happen in the course of a season. Like, a player who maybe wasn't impactful early can come into the fold and impact you later, like Keon. And, you know, who's to say Devin Carter can't come back? And, like, it's like, that's the other thing. They're not asking if when Devin Carter comes back, whether that's January, February, March, whenever that is, they're not asking him to come back. Like, dude, like, we need you to carry us here. They're going to be like, hey, man, first things first, if you were minutes, get in there for 10 minutes and go defend your ass off.
Yep.
Give us some energy off the bench. Go get rebounds.
Yep.
Go dunk on somebody's head.
The perimeter bring pressure. Life. Like, bring yes, life. Yes, yes, yes. All that. All that. He's a relentless defender. And like those, especially coming off the bench, especially with a rookie, that's the kind of shit you're going to want to see.
Yeah. Other stuff, other notes I took down. Jalen McDaniels was there today. You see his length. You're like, oh, yeah. That's pretty damn long. I totally forgot. Like, he knows Jay Triano from Charlotte.
Shit. I wish I knew that.
So is Malik Monk, too. He has a connection with Malik Monk. What else? Oh, Jordan McLaughlin was in the building today. So that was good to catch up with Jordan McLaughlin. Says he's progressing well. He's going to miss some time with an ankle sprain, but it looks like it's progressing well.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat was asking, what happened to Trey Lyles? He suffered a groin injury. He made it sound like it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
But he said he did it 2 weeks ago during a workout.
That sucks.
So.
Still fresh.
Yeah. So at the moment, as we start training camp Monday, today's Monday, tomorrow's Tuesday, right?
Good job.
Thank you. And the next day is Wednesday, right? And then Thursday?
ABC.
Yay! So the Kings will start camp without Devin Carter, no Kevin Huerter, no Trey Lyles, no Jordan McLaughlin to start. One guy that I'm keep an eye on.
Who?
Because, you know, with these guys out, with Trey Lyles out, there's going to be opportunity. And I think so many people point to McDaniels as a guy that, like, hey, they need length. Like, he's going to get an opportunity. Sure, he will. I think Isaac Jones is someone.
You were gonna say him.
Isaac Jones. He's on a two-way contract. And
he's a big old body.
He's a big dude.
Yep.
6'8", 7'3" wingspan.
He's just a sweet dude too.
He was a joy to talk to today. And that's probably why I'm falling for him a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for him. When I say like, keep an eye, I'm not saying like, dude, this guy's going to start. I'm hey, you could see like Mike Brown giving him a look in different lineups. We'll see what training camp looks like, but he knows his role. It's to go in there, communicate on defense, get offensive rebounds, block shots, defend. He's long. I mentioned the 7'3" wingspan. And, you know, he's also one of those guys that like, it wasn't easy for him to get here. Mm-mm. And I thought it was cool hearing him today talk about how he's bonded with Keon Ellis because they both went the JUCO route,
that's cool.
Then to a D1, and then undrafted two-way. And now Keon, of course, has the guaranteed contract. I think there have been many times in the past where I think fans and even media will be dismissive of players who are on two-way contracts. Like, I think they'll make it the team. Look, I think nowadays it's a very vital part of the NBA ecosystem. And if you see a great example, Keon Ellis, who is maybe going to be the starter opening night after being right, going that route. So this guy, Isaac Jones, out of high school for a year and a half, he was working like at a warehouse, moving pipes around. Then his buddy wanted to go play for a JUCO team. And the coach is like, hey, I'll let you try out, but you go find some tall kid. Like, do you have any friends? He goes, oh, I know one. So his friend goes, hey, come try out for this team. He wasn't in shape, whatever. He worked his ass off, earned a spot on the team, eventually goes to Washington State. I think he was on the all Pac-12 team last year. And, you know, here he is as an undrafted guy getting a chance to come to Sacramento. And I think he's the type of guy that Mike Brown likes because he does the dirty work. So without Trey Lyles in the fold, I think you could see someone like Isaac Jones get a look-see here. And I'm curious to be on a jersey watch in training camp during the first week to see who's wearing what jerseys.
Are we putting more into jersey watch this year? Because last year, there was a lot with Sasha Vezenkov.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess I was wrong on that. I mean, I just like, we're looking too much into it. I tend to think the thing with jersey watch when it, I should further explain it for people who are like, what the hell does that mean? So, like, the first team will wear, like, a black jersey, another team will wear white jerseys, and, like, the third team wears red jerseys. But, like, they switch them a lot, and you don't know. Like, we don't get to see the whole practice. So, like, a guy could be wearing a red jersey in the first part and then be wearing a black jersey. You know, they rotate. It's training camp. They're going to try different things. But I think if you notice a pattern and it's repeated, that's when you go, oh, okay.
There's something there.
Yeah, there's something there.
For sure.
But, yeah.
Wait. Training camp's tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, hell
it's here.
Yeah.
It's here. We're going to be at training camp, and then we'll have coverage on YouTube and all that shit, man.
And we'll have all that coverage.
Yeah. anything we missed today from Media Day?
I'm thinking... No.
I'm excited. Oh, I'm going to say this. This is the most excited I've been for almost a King season since probably last year. But I felt like today, like looking around, this is what I'll say.
We should go back to every Media Day podcast and see how talk about. Yes. Don't.
My worst. Oh. I think my worst is when they won 39 games years ago. And I think I was like, dude, I think they won a 51. Dude, I think they can make that jump, right? So stupid. Like, what's stupid? That was a young, dumb deuce. I'm a grizzled vet now.
No.
I'm a DeMar DeRozan. I've been around. I've seen shit. I've watched the game. I've talked to people.
Proceed to what you were saying.
I walked in after looking around, as the kids would see, sensing the aura, feeling the vibes, no cap. And
ew, like that was just so old and gross, how you just added all those together in one second. But go on.
Anyway. I just honestly, I was like, this team's good. Like, I'm not, it wasn't even like, oh, is it going to be a good year? I'm like, this team's good. Like,
yeah.
I'm looking around at the pieces. I'm like, they've got a good squad. I'm not saying they're a championship team. I'm not saying they're not without flaws. We mentioned the size and stuff, but I'm like, their offense are going to be tough to guard. They got some shooting. They've got dynamic scoring. They got a big, like, it's a bonus who can rebound his ass off and orchestrate an offense and sets awesome screens. When they're healthy, I'm like, wait, they're going to have Monk, Herter, Lyles off the bench? Throw in Alex Len or whoever else.
Yeah.
That's a squad.
Yeah, a solid squad.
That's a playoff team. We're winning a series.
There he goes. Squad. No, I'm super excited. That was a lot of fun. Obviously, just on that level of just being around the guys once again. And I also had fun doing some NBC promo stuff with you, too. So that should be fun whenever that's on TV.
I'll be doing some TV with Morgan. Yeah. Kings pre and post for the second consecutive year. God, man, that Deuce guy, got to get him back in the fold.
Is that what they said?
I don't know. They never actually tell us how good we're doing.
Yeah, they just go.
We were just
You're either
guessing.
Hired or fired. Yeah. So we're there. We're doing good.
Oh, man.
Oh, this business.
What the sus says, Malik's comment about the shooting guard logjam. Yeah, someone was, I think Jay Gaden was asking Malik about the shooting guard logjam. Like, hey, you know, and Malik's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, it's like you and Kevin and Keon. And Malik's like, I'm not a shooting guard. And then just moved on. And someone goes, well, if you're not a shooting guard, like, what are you? He goes, I'm a guard. I want him to be like, I'm a basketball player.
Oh, I'm glad he just said I'm a guard.
Yeah, but I mean, he is kind of the de facto backup point guard for this team.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why, I mean, you can talk about so many different roles around the NBA. And I think even when you just look at some of these guys, and it's, I don't want to go into it being, oh, it's such a positionless game, but you do need to be able to do so much more than just whatever maybe your role was told to you as a child. You know, like, you're big, so you're going to just stand on there and post up. You're a shooting guard, so you're just going to spot up and shoot. No. You got to add so many things to your game.
Positions just don't matter as much anymore. It's about who you can guard.
Yep.
It's about who you can guard.
Size, strength.
Yeah, what can you do for me?
Absolutely.
The versatility. You're exactly right. And Malik is like, that guy's a basketball player. Also, I like reading the random messages in the chat. It's been a while since we've been live. Juice, how you get so much energy? Are you okay, my friend? Yeah, didn't someone accuse me of being on Adderall? Didn't you say?
A lot of things. At other drugs as well. Deuce is just literally high on life.
I am high on the kings, man.
I don't know if that's a I think it's a compliment, though.
No, it's not. If really? Someone goes, I think it was a Reddit guy who was like, that guy's on Adderall. He's like chewing Adderall. He's so juiced up on Adderall. I'm like, okay, I've never consumed
been
Adderall.
Prescribed no. Adderall. But even so, like,
I'm just happy.
I was
going to
say, I wake up so happy every morning that, like, I think I see it as a compliment. You just bring that type of energy.
That's the compliment I want. Like, dude, I just love what that guy brings. He's on Adderall based.
It is what it is.
So you have no final thoughts from today.
You didn't.
I just gave you this long thing.
You didn't even offer me.
I did. I said any other thoughts?
No, you said any other things that you. I started saying a sentence.
We're not doing this game. Not even game
one. I started saying a sentence and then I was cut off. I think one of my final thoughts is that, you know, just remember whether you have oxygen or not, if you have a team surrounding you, you can climb that mountain.
Like Ed.
Psycho Ed.
Ed. Anna Perma.
Mount Annapurna.
Annapurna.
Yes. I'll never forget that.
Is it Annapurna? Annapurna. Perna. Annapurna.
Whoa, that's a big old mountain.
Yeah, dude. You climb this shit.
How do you climb that?
Climb this shit without oxygen and get back to me.
Okay.
You know how you climb it? Teamwork, communication, sacrifice.
Let's Someone go. Doing CPR to you and breathing into your mouth so you have like air. Can you look up how high can you climb without extra oxygen?
Ask Ed. He did it.
I want Ed on the podcast.
How
Thank you.
High.
Can you climb?
Can you climb without oxygen?
Can you climb a mountain?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. Without oxygen. Because obviously it's like...
I mean, obviously 26,000 feet. In mountaineering, the death zone refers to altitudes above which the pressure of oxygen is insufficient to sustain human life for an extended time span. The point is generally agreed as 8,000 meters, 26,000 feet.
Which is...
This guy's done 14 of the 8,000 meter ones.
But some of them are 26,000 feet, 240... Wait, 26,247 feet.
Morgan.
I know.
8,000 meters is 26,000 feet.
I know. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying that that's technically 247 feet more.
Yeah. I got you. That's funny.
Thank you. So that's when he really needed the oxygen.
Morgan's like, I can barely go like walk through old sack without oxygen. And that's below sea level.
I'm just making sure that like, you know, Psycho Ed wasn't lying to anyone about not needing oxygen. But it looks like he's good.
As someone who's scaled a mountain before in Canada, it's like not that like...
I just fact checked Psycho Ed, but
dude, have you done this? Like,
nope, did not climb this mountain.
I did, not a big deal. I scaled it.
Do you even know what it's called?
Mount Norquay.
Is that how you say it?
I don't know. I just climbed it. Let's see what the elevator. Hold on. Let's see how many feet. Let's see how close I am to Ed.
Yes, you did.
Dude, maybe I'm just like Ed.
Let's see.
Not at top of it. Almost 7,000 feet.
Without oxygen, Deuce made it.
You know what?
Oh, my God.
Comment of the night nominee from Tanner. What? DeMar DeRozan is how you climb it.
Oh. Oh.
I'm falling DeMar DeRozan.
If you're climbing any mountain anytime soon.
DeMar doesn't need oxygen for the Western Conference.
Just have DeMar with you.
Take me to Denver. I don't give a shit.
Just like that.
Been fun, guys. We're actually scheduled to be live again tomorrow night, believe it or not.
Oh, are we going to just do that?
Are we doing it? You don't want to do it now?
Are we scheduled to do that?
I thought
that?
We talked about we were going to be live tomorrow night,
I'm
like
down.
With day one training camp thing.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock.
As long as, like, there's, yeah, if you think, because I think, I'm down. Okay. I'm down. We could just,
there's going to be topics, okay?
That's what I'm saying. Like, we could just vibe and and chill with day one training camp. I think that's why we did do it.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to throw out for tomorrow for the people who are here live. I want to try something tomorrow. I want to try to take calls and video calls. I dropped the link right now in our live chat on YouTube. And there is a way. I'm going to switch. Oh, no, that's not calls. It's chat. My bad.
Perfect.
Dude. Chat. I hit chat and it's going to drop a link. And I'll be able to go over here and hit collab cam and allow people. Oh, like, oh, we actually have someone here. That's so funny. All right, dude. Ashley has been waiting for a while. Ashley, put you on hold? Let me just try this. This is a good test. Ashley, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, you know, hold on. One thing I have to try. Hold on. One second.
Okay. Oh, you know what you're doing.
No. This is great. This is a great test, Ashley. Hang on. I'm going to get to you in just a second. This is great. I need it.
Is the beam lit?
You know, it's going to be echoing, dude. That's what I got to figure this out.
Well, this is good that you're figuring it now live on this podcast.
Hold on, Ashley, talk right now. I need this. Is it echoing, chat?
I don't know what to say, but
no, yeah, just say go. Say light the beam.
Light the beam.
Thank you.
Okay, chat. Is it echoing?
We'll find out. Okay. You know what? I'll have to test this more. I thought I could tweak this right now, but it's not allowing me to.
It's on delay.
Anyway, Ashley, thank you so much for being here and testing this out. I just happened to check and you were in here. Are you excited for the season?
Of course, definitely.
Sounds like we're not echoing.
That's good. The chat's saying it's not echoing. That's great. Okay.
Yeah. We got it's echoing and no.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good to know. And Ashley, what are you most excited for?
I'm always excited for games around January. My birthday's on the 7th. Last year, I got to go to Kings versus Raptors. And we actually made it a weekend because my mom came out and we ended up going to the Pelicans, unfortunately. Also, but we also went to the January 5th game as well. Against the Magic.
We cannot have you go to the Pelicans game this year. I'm glad they're not going to be playing on your birthday.
I definitely won't be going to any Pelicans games this year.
Good, no way.
Well, we appreciate you checking in. Do you have any other final thoughts on this?
I just wanted to say, as far as the seeding, I think that we do have a chance at top four. And the reason why is I think that, for one, Jaw's always injured at least 15 games or so. So we're not worried about the Memphis Grizzlies, in my opinion.
Wow.
Nuggets are losing KCP. And I think that's going to be a big loss. And we were top three just 2 years ago, and we're adding DeMar DeRozan. So I think that's actually going to help our spacing, if anything, because we have Keegan, who's going to be open in the corners. We got Aaron, who's expanding his range. And we also got Malik, who we know is money from three.
Let's see. The optimism is abound in Sacramento. Well, thanks so much for checking in, and thanks so much for allowing us to test with you.
Thanks,
and
Ashley.
We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Of course.
All right. There's Ashley checking in. That was a good test. Great to see you.
Yeah.
And I people are saying it didn't echo. I think it probably did, and I don't know why it wasn't allowing me to mess with this here.
But no, but I think they just didn't like her audio. Okay. You know what I mean? I think that's what it was. It's maybe. Like, yeah. Maybe.
This has been a lot of fun tonight. We appreciate you guys hanging out so much. And we'll be back live tomorrow night.
We'll be live tomorrow night.
Also, reminder, tickets on sale tomorrow, a.k.a. October 1st. Our first live show since April 2023. Go on sale. Go to harlows.com to get your tickets or click the link on our social media pages. We're going to definitely put it out there. It could sell out fast. Hopefully it does, but hopefully it's not too fast and you guys miss out. It's a bigger venue. Harlow's downtown Sacramento. It's going to be October 23rd, 8 p.m., the night before Kings Wolves, the home opener at Golden Blunt Center. We love you guys, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.